Thank you, Lord. Thank you, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts. We bless your holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us with your divine presence. Thank you, Lord, for washing all of us with your precious blood. The Spirit of the Lord is liberty. And thank you, Lord, for the liberty. And the liberty of the Lord is the fellowship of God. Thank you, Lord, the love, the peace, the joy that flows abundantly in this river. Thank you, Lord. We are all blessed by one another, O Lord. We are incomplete without any one of us in the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand. It is you in all in all. We bless your holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the goodness in our lives today. And thank you, Lord, you know, for all the goodness that will come tomorrow. And thank you, Lord, for all the goodness that you gave us in the past. Because, O Lord, God is good. And we will overcome everything by good, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power of light. Thank you, Lord, for the power of life. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the power of thy anointing that destroys the yoke, that rebuilds the temple, that revives the people, that restores relationship, that repairs the breach. The power of thy mighty anointing, O Lord. Amen. Thy anointing is what we seek. The Holy Spirit that comes down as a rain to soak us and goes like a river to carry us. We bless your holy name, O Lord. Help us, Lord. The church is always soaked, rooted, shielded, surrounded by the mighty divine presence of thy Holy Spirit. It is our desire, O Lord. As long as we have your Spirit, our church is victorious. Our church will be fruitful. We will be fruitful. We will be victorious, O Lord. Thy Spirit is all we need. And Lord, we pray that you fill all of us today with the power of thy presence. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful worship, testimonies. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful fruit of today, the baptism of our precious dear sister Denise. Lord, we rejoice, O Lord. The angels will dance and celebrate. And Lord, may you bless all of us to understand that that shepherd, good shepherd, will always rejoice for every single sheep that enters his flock. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We are all your children. In your time, we see you. In your time, we receive you. In your time, we enter into the flock. And Lord, likewise, O Lord, we pray and we ask in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let it be the spark that you throw in the dry forest. May you bless us, Lord. This baptism catches fire and bring new souls unto the kingdom, O Lord. It is our desire to see the boat catching fish. It is our desire to see the ark carries people. It is our desire to see the chariot move people from one point to another, from captivity to liberty. Amen. Oh Lord, we pray. Help us, Lord, to serve thy ministry of reconciliation, ministry of redemption. Without soul burden, a church is a dead church. But with soul burden, rooted in the agape love. With agape love, rooted in faith and unity and hope and joy and peace. Lord, we would be the formidable force, the strong tower of your name, who would go against all the wickedness of the land. And we would deliver thy people for their kingdom. Because it is you, Joshua, who fight the battle. It is you, the wall of fire, who surround the church. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. We ask for a spirit to move in the midst of us today. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Deliverer, Blessed Redeemer, Divine Healer, Righteous Judge, Prince of Peace, Prince of Life. Look at the way people gave him names. Amen. When the people are suffering in battle, the Lord would come as Prince of Peace. When they are in captivity, he would come as Blessed Redeemer. When they are sick, he would come as Divine Healer, Great Physician. So the Father in heaven, the Spirit of God, the only source of life, the only source of light, the Lord knows what the children need, and he comes down in a way that he would address that particular need. Amen. So the children decide how they want to see the Lord. If we are completely filled in wickedness, he would come as a righteous judge. He's not going to say that I will come. He would come. Because he's not a man who lost a battle. He never lost a battle. And he never runs away. He stand and fight like David, who stand against the entire army. And may the Lord bless us today as we bring in what we learned from Prophet Elisha, Prophet Elijah, High Priest Aaron, High Priest Eleazar, King David, King Solomon, and the garment of leprosy. Four different garments focusing on sickness, sanctifying, cleansing the camp, focusing on kingdom transfer from one king to another, focusing on prophetical ministry transfer from one prophet to another, focusing on high priestly garment transfer from one high priest to another. Amen. The garment was seen as a form of covenant the Lord had made concerning that particular servanthood, and the Lord said the garment will never be worn out. But the people, they can be weary. Amen. The garment the Lord had given to Aaron, the Bible says when he died, it was given to Eleazar, but the garment was never worn out. It was as fresh as it could be, because it was prepared by the instruction of the Lord Almighty. It was prepared in sincerity and truth. It was made in the leading of the Holy Spirit. But when the garment comes upon our lives and we have a battle against our flesh and the servanthood and the service of God, so either we hold on to the reverence and honor, we live a life that is worthy of His calling, and the garment would say, I will stick with you. When we step outside, the garment would throw us out. That is what we see in King Solomon, what we see in all the different kings of Judah, kings of Israel. They will keep on being replaced, like how the Lord is playing stone changing game in a wall. Depends on how long they served. That shows how long the Lord decided to keep them. Amen. So by the grace of God, we will continue from where we left last Sunday. Song of Moses, Armor of David, was addressed by one high priest, Jehoiada. He taught the priest to run and praise, to bring high praises in the place where they surrounded the king. That high praises, it glorified the name of the Lord. It built a wall of fire. At the same time, Athaliah was so angry, how dare them, they can make such a proclamation. I am here. I am the queen. They should be scared of me. So he came and saw what happened. But Jehoiada, he ignored the noise and all the disturbance of Athaliah. He focused on the process. He clothed the priest with the weapons of David. Spears, bucklers, shields. Amen. Of David, from the temple of God, not from Jehoiada's house. After he clothed them, he made a covenant with them. So they made a covenant that they said, we will live and die for the king, for the Lord had appointed the king. And after the covenant, the wickedness was slain after the city was quiet. So this is where we ended. This is the state of the daughter Athaliah. But what happened to the mother Jezebel? Mother Jezebel. Book of Ezekiel taught us, when a father is righteous, it doesn't mean the son can hide behind the righteousness of the father. If the father is righteous, son is wicked, the Lord would deal with the son according to his wickedness. If the father is wicked, the son is righteous, the Lord would deal with the son according to the righteousness, because the Lord is righteous. Amen. But the side effect, the consequence of holding on to wickedness will become an inheritance and will be passed to the second generation. And that generation, in order for them to be delivered from such a stronghold, it's a battle. It's a tough, tough battle. And if they did not come back to senses, Athaliah would do the same what Jezebel did. And she did the same what Jezebel did. So now, by God's grace, we will start from how Moses ended the songs. Last Sunday, I requested all to meditate Deuteronomy 31, 32, 33, Exodus 15. The two different songs of Moses, one after crossing the sea and two after he crossed the earth. from one point to one, from one place to another. Before the death, Moses sang a song as well. So by God's grace, we will start with the song, the farewell, the end of the life of Moses, because Aaron died, Miriam died, Elijah was taken, all the servants of God that we have been meditating, they all had their closure, you know, in our study so far. But Moses is still escaping. Let's find how the Lord ended his journey. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Let's start from Deuteronomy chapter 31. Please turn your Bibles to 31. We finished up to the whole chapter, but I want to read from verse 30. 31 verse 30, Deuteronomy. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song. What? Not the tune of this song. Not the music of this song. Not the wonderful melody of the song. The words of the song makes it as a song. And that vehement desire to utter those words becomes the tune of the spirit. So how Moses sang, we don't know. We are not so much troubled by the music of it, but we are focusing on the words of life in the song. A song is a prayer, a song is a sermon, a song is deliverance, a song is encouragement. Song can be anything, because song is compared to salvation. Now Moses sang a song and he wrote a song in the same day. The Lord did not give him another day, same day. And after that he sang a song and he uttered the song in the ears. Do you know why? What the book of Revelation says? He that hath an ear, let him hear. Moses cannot speak the song to the heart of the people. Why? There is free will between your ear and your heart. And that free will is a gatekeeper. You can simply ignore or you can humbly receive. You can simply ignore or you can humbly receive. The distance between your heart and your ear. This is where things getting confounded. So Moses is only in charge of delivering the words to the ear. He's like a mailman. After that, the Lord says, deny yourself, carry your cross, follow me if you desire to follow me. Which means, if you are joyful to serve me, if you are happy to serve me, serve me. If you are not happy to serve me, the Lord do not need such service. Do we really think the King of Kings will come and beg every one of us, I need your help, need your help? God of Jacob is our help. Amen. So when Moses sang the song, he uttered those words to the ear. He made sure everyone heard what was spoken. When the Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, which means everyone must have heard of the name, everyone must have been warned of what's going to happen. Every single soul on the earth, they would have been warned, the sufficient warning, what the Lord wanted to pass. Then the end will come. Who is the end? He has a name. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. He would come. So Moses finished speaking the song, words of the song, words of the Lord, song of salvation. Now, verse 1. Again, Moses starts by focusing on verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens. What the people would say, we haven't even reached the promised land. Look at this man, talking about heavens. He is still in the wilderness. And Moses addresses to the heavens first. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. The way the Lord started the journey of Moses was all about the mouth of Moses. Do you remember? The Lord said, Moses, I need your help. Do you want to come and serve me? Moses said, no. You know, my Moses is not good. I can't speak fluently. And the Lord said, I will put the words in your mouth. You take from your hand and put it in the Aaron's mouth. Because you said you don't want to speak. So I don't need your help. The Lord called Aaron and Aaron became the spokesperson. Now, Moses says, hear the words of my mouth. Because the Lord wants to finish how he started. So, he says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why he started with the heavens. Oh ye heavens! The word of the Lord comes to us. Amen? And Spirit of the Lord fall upon us from higher ground above where we stand. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool, and we should know where we stand. people standing on the earth, anointing the feet of Jesus Christ. So now, Moses says, hear my words of my mouth. He didn't say follow. Why? Up to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Which means, he who wants to follow, let him follow. And the Lord says, do not be the hearers of the word, but be the doers of the word. So bring all together, according to the sight of the Lord, hearing means listening, accepting, receiving, and doing it joyfully. It all combines as one single word, hearing. I hear the word of the Lord. That is why whenever the Lord calls his servant, they come and say, here I am, O Lord, I'm here. I'm hearing you. I will do whatever you say. I'm here. I don't know what to do. Do you want me to go back? Or do you want me to crawl down or jump? I don't know. But Lord, here I am. I'm here. You speak, I do. Amen. Perfect submission. You see, when the Lord told all the people of Israel, my servant Moses, there was no one humble like him. It's also a prophetical blessing, isn't it? Because the Lord had vouched for him even before Moses died. Even before Moses died. The same way the Lord told Ananias, this Saul, whom you despise, will embrace the fellowship of my sufferings and he will suffer for my name's sake. He said this even before Apostle Paul started suffering. Confidence of the Creator in his creation by looking at the state of creation, how humble he is. The Lord can work mightily in a humble vessel. He can never work with a vessel of pride. And Moses was keep on addressed to humbleness because God needed such a leader to pull the entire multitude to the tip of the territory. Then he would take off the leader to show everyone it is him. If the Lord allowed Moses to cross the river of the Jordan, that's it. People would call Moses God Almighty. And the Lord said, let me bury him, you would never find his sepulcher. Nobody could find him. Now that Lord Almighty gave a song to Moses. And Moses, he says, verse 2, my doctrine. Whose doctrine? Song given by the Lord. It's the Lord's word. It's a doctrine. Not the vain babblings that people fight in this time. Not those doctrines. But the doctrine that saved life. Shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb. And as the showers upon the grass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We sing the song, there shall be showers of blessing. No, it comes from here. When the Lord speaks, like the manna from the heaven, people were focusing on the flesh. But they didn't realize how much the Lord loves me to the point whereby he is sending food from above. People didn't look at the love, but rather they were focusing on, do I survive today? Would I survive today? Where is the food? Where is the water? They were so busy in saving the flesh. Like when Jesus was giving a parable, they did not see the bread of life sitting on the mountain and they said, we want bread, we want bread. And he fed them. Whatever they asked, he gave them. Why? Aaron did not stop the golden calf. Because his duty was not to stop the people's free will. His duty was to intercede. People wanted golden calf, Aaron said, let it be as you say. People wanted divorce, Moses said, let it be as you say. Why? Permissible, remember this, permissive will is outside the perfect will of God. God would not disturb you. Inside the perfect will of God, he will chasten you, prune you, bless you, encourage you, strengthen you. But outside the permissive, outside the will of God, you are on your own. You tell the Lord, you are not my master. I am my master. Then how can you take control? Then someone needs to drag you to the way of holiness, interceding. That is the work of the church. Non-believers are outside. Before the grace period ends, you must bring them into the perfect will of God, the way of holiness. If not, the fire will fall on both the sides, but the way of holiness will be completely preserved. Do we want to be selfish to save our life? Or do we want to bring as much people as we can in the way of holiness? That is the ministry of life, ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now Moses is speaking in the same intent. Because Moses knows, after I die, I don't know who is going to stand for you, Aaron or Eleazar. Moses don't know. Nobody can say, I predict the future forever. Nobody can say that. Nobody knows what is tomorrow. Amen. So Moses says, as I love you, my brethren, do you see the love of Moses for the people is not mentioned in the Old Testament. It's not explicitly mentioned. What do you see? Moses, kill 3,000. Moses, throw Miriam out. Moses did this, did that.
But imagine, 40 years, this man was struggling, suffering. We don't know what happened to his family. Do you read his wife's name in the three Sway books? No. Do you read his family name? No. It's a complete life of sacrifice. We don't know what he was doing on the top of the mountain. Nobody knows. But when he comes down, they will say, where is water? Why the water is very sour? Where is bread? Why it is not warm? But they didn't know that he was kneeling down on the top of the mountain, praying for them day and night, fasting. But people don't care about that. What they care about? Are you sure we will reach the promised land Canaan on 6 p.m. by tomorrow? Or would this train will have some issue with the engine? Then we will change the train. There is no other train. So sorry. No other train. Either the chariot of Israel or the chariot of Egypt. The chariot of Egypt will be devoured by the Red Sea, if you really want to board on that. Now that is the warning Moses is giving one last time, because he can't speak. When the Lord takes him home, he can't speak. So what he speaks, I have this much chance, I will make the most of it. So I will only read 4 verses. I trust that you all meditated the rest of the verses. Verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. What God told Ananias, this Saul will die for my name's sake, will suffer for my name's sake. And Moses says, I will publish. What do you mean by publish? If a man of God lived and died for the Lord, after he died, some people will say, hey, do you know this brother or this sister? She lived. No, he lived as a faithful servant of God. The name of the Lord is glorified. Now, your death published a good report for the God who is good. That is how you can say, my life published the name of the Lord. Someone stamped your life as a testimony of Jesus. It's not about what people say when you're alive. Do you know? Because you can change it 1 second before your death. And you can say, oh, my dear friends, whatever I said in the past, it's all lie. Don't believe in Jesus. Then you die as a non-believer. Because of a distraction, you trouble many hearts. But the Lord waits. If there is no death, there is no life. If there is no death, there is no good report. If any of us want to feel that I want to serve the Lord with all my heart, all my desire, all my might, all my strength, all my love, we do it. But if we expect appreciation, recognition, but the Lord says, die first, then he will give us the recognition. Why? You can change. Like King Saul, you are serving mightily. But the Lord did not end the story. He waited. Testimony of God's servants has to be recorded after we stop breathing. Or he come and take us home when we are breathing. Because we are living in such a time. So Moses is speaking, but he didn't say anything about himself. Amen. Have you noticed that? He said nothing about himself. Why? He has one who defends him. His name is I am that I am. That's all. I am who I am. He comes to speak about Moses. Moses speak about God. Speak about God's children. Speak about God's will. Case closed. 3 things. God, God's children, God's work. Now he says, I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. After that, he talks about people. And I pray that you meditate. But first 4 verses, it encourages me. Song of salvation. Garment of praise. You know, Moses is clothing the people with garment of praise and also clothing himself because he's going to go home. He's going to say bye to everyone. But the Bible says he did not look old. His skin was fresh. His garments were good. He didn't look like a 120-year-old man. No. But yet the Lord said, your heart is weary. I am responsible for your weariness because I am the one who called you in the wilderness. I am the one who gave my burden to you from Egypt captivity, and you carried my burden. It is fine, my dear child, my servant, he took him. The Lord looked at the heart, the weariness of the heart. Amen. And that weariness was caused by people, not by Moses, not by God, but by people. Every single Israel people standing at that ground, they are irresponsible. They are the reason for the death of Moses. If people think a good old man lived long and died well. No. He died for me. That is the truth. Moses lived and died for the people of Israel. In his death, everyone, they have a part to it. In his punishment for not entering the promised land, every one of the people of Israel, they had a role to play in it, because they are the one who frustrated him. They are the one who made him angry. And they are the one who provoked him to strike the rock twice. And the Lord said, let me give you a beautiful climax for this movie. And he led Moses to pay the price, so that we understand what is Calvary. If Jesus loved us first, then he should pay the price. Because of people like us, sinful, full of iniquity, rebellion, stiff-necked, pride, arrogance, whatever that is not godly, we are full of it. And he died for us, seeing us in that state. He did not see the good version of our state, because there is nothing good in us. But he saw the wicked version of ourselves, but yet he decided, I can wash him. I can change him. I can fill him in my spirit, because the Lord knows, greater is he who is in me, and I will give the same to him, my comforter. That trust and confidence, do you have with your brethren? Do you have in the family where you live? Do you have in the brother and sister who is sitting next to you? The confidence Jesus had when he died for you on the cross, when he was stripped, his garments were taken, but he still looked at the clothing of your life. Amen? He clothed you. You were naked. You were all naked. I was naked. He came and clothed me. Amen? How much you paid for the clothing? Nothing. So now, 4 verses, Moses begins the song. The rest of the verses, I pray that you meditate. Now, continuing the same chapter, verse 43. 32, verse 43. Now, how Moses started, oh, here, oh, ye heavens, are you there? Listen to me. This man shouting from earth, all the way to heavens and earth, he's commanding both, because he is not just a man, a vessel filled with a spirit of God. Amen. Now, verse 43, he says, rejoice ye, O ye nations, with his people. Nations, they are still in the wilderness. They haven't even formed the nation of Israel yet. Samuel, not born yet. David, Saul, did not come yet. Moses, the prophet. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, and he will avenge the blood of his servants. Did it start from the righteous Abel? Of course, yes. Jesus said, the blood of righteous Abel, cry unto me. What do you mean by cry unto me? If they did not die a normal death, if they were taken or killed, that blood will cry unto the Lord for judgment. Why? Because it's the pure blood. And Moses says, he will avenge the blood of his servant and will render vengeance to his adversaries. But he is the one who sent the adversaries. And will be merciful unto his land and to his people. The land is one thing that we always forget. Last 2 Sundays, we meditated on the land. But the Lord says, I will heal the iniquity of the land in one single day. One single day, my brethren. The Bible says the Lord can heal the iniquity of the land in one single day. And Moses wrote the song in one single day. 40 years wilderness, one farewell, one single day. 4,000 years of preparation, one sacrifice, one offering, one Calvary, one single day. 4,000 years of waiting, one resurrection, one single day. The Lord waited for so long that the day he do it will be like a swift sword piercing with your heart, just like that. You won't even see that coming. The Lord said, I finished everything, fulfilled all. What? I was waiting for 6,000 years. No, I'm done. All done in one single day. If we are a bit careless, we will miss the boat. How we can stay watchful? Together. Because for sure you will sleep. Don't deny that. But when you sleep, someone is holding your hand and keeping the watch. When he sleeps, you hold his hand, keep the watch. Watchman can never be alone. Now, Moses knows that he had set watchmen. Aaron, Eleazar, Joshua, Caleb. The Lord would raise people. Why? It is the Lord who would fulfill the promises, not Moses. Not the people, the Lord. As long as there is a vessel, the Lord would do it. You know, when the Lord gave the conference to Moses through Phinehas, the Lord appointed Moses, Aaron, Eleazar, but yet it was Phinehas, the zeal of Phinehas, that put an end to that madness of plague when he killed those 2 commit abominations. Moses is witnessing, and God come and say, because of zeal of Phinehas, I did not consume Israel. Moses will be like, what? What about me? I am the one who came to this, you know, to this vineyard first. You call me first. You ask me to lead the people of Israel. What do you mean you give credit to Phinehas? No, God does not work that way. At that point of time, when the Spirit hover upon the water, if we are all the still waters, when the Spirit of God hover upon us, it will see which vessel is humble, which vessel is sincere, which vessel is empty, which vessel is pleasing to His Spirit. He would fill that vessel and speak. It can be Elizabeth, it can be Adam, it can be Barakati, it can be anyone. Anyone. Because everything that breathes, praise the Lord. God's kingdom, it's all about the leading of His Holy Spirit. So Moses knows the God who called us, He will see us through. One way or other, if I fail, He will see us through. If Aaron failed, He will see us through. If Joshua failed, if Eleazar failed, if Caleb failed, if everyone failed, the Lord will raise an innocent vessel, will fill him with the Spirit. He will see them through. Why? Joshua cannot lose. Jesus Christ has never lost a battle. Calvary was a foolish thing to the people, correct? Because they killed him. But it was the most subtle victory that he ever recorded in the history of humankind. Because in order for the Lord to enter into the Sheol to get the keys and preach to the captives, no, he can't go and force, he had to die. So it was a trap, like how Jacob clothed himself like garment of Esau. Hey, I am Esau, it's a hairy man. I'm a sinful man, full of iniquity. And Isaac blessed him, correct? That's exactly what happened in Calvary. Jesus was clothed by the iniquity of us, and everybody judged him as a sinful man, but he knew not sin. He had to be killed to go inside, and the death could not hold him. Why? Because he's holy. They opened the gate for the wrong person. They opened the gate of death for the Prince of Life, and he entered, death could not hold him. Spit him out. Resurrection, the power of resurrection. So that power of resurrection the Lord has given us, and that is in us. Do not simply say, the Lord touched me, the Lord saved me, the Lord gave His name. Those are all simple. Remember the power of resurrection that overcomes death that is in you. That is a comforter. If the old man says, oh, let's remain as a dead people, you say, no, I have power of resurrection, I'm a new man, I will resurrect from my old man. That dead Lazarus remain as a dead. And that new man should walk. Every day, we wake up to fight with us, correct? You are the first Philistine who come and attack the door. You are the first Ammonite. You are the first, all the enemies of God, the Moabites, Edomites. You are that enemy. The day when you wake up, you are going to fight the battle of your flesh in different forms. If you are not the new man, clothed by the garment of salvation, that old man will kill you on the spot. That Cain will jump on you, will make you to feel angry. That enemy will jump on you and make you to do what he wants you to do. If you are not clothed by the garment of salvation, we would be devoured by our very own self. Do not exaggerate. The whole wickedness comes against me. You are not that special. First, overcome our flesh. The rest, there is the Spirit of God. There is the wall of fire. There is the armor of David. That comes later. But that battle belongs to the Lord. We are not here to be troubled. The battle that David threw the stone, the work of David was done when he came down to meet his brothers with the five stones, and he put his hand in the stone and he aimed it. That's all that David did. Everything happened afterward. It is the work of the Lord. Do you really think David can have such supernatural strength to kill Goliath? It was the Lord who filled him. Do you think Phinehas could do that? It was the Lord who filled him. Every goodness that happened in what we read, the vessel denied itself and the Lord took over. So now Moses is addressing by saying, verse 44, Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now there is two in agreement. Do you see what's happening? Joshua came suddenly in the end. The chapter begins by saying Moses sang the song in the ears of people. Now he said he sang together with Joshua, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all the words to Israel. Not just a song, but speaking the words to Israel. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. Because a song was written on that day, not yesterday, is fresh. This day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do,
all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Imagine you are the people standing, listening to the boring song. You say, when this Moses will stop, you know. No A minor, no tune, no drums. Oh, he's a terrible singer. Then Moses finished by saying, oh, you did not listen. I'm so sorry. That song is your life. Oh, is it my life? I didn't listen. Please sing it again. Please sing it again. Moses said, no, I can't sing again. I have throat pain. When it was given, we receive. Make the most when it is available for you. The Lord is not begging behind us. He's moving forward. We have to follow Him. Amen. Then Moses says, it is life. He did not say it in the first. He knows who are hearing with fear and sincerity. Moses knows. He says, it is life. A song of salvation. And through this thing, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And Moses says, through this song, you shall prolong your days, teach us to number our days, apply our hearts to wisdom. What is the wisdom? The knowledge of the holy is our understanding and wisdom. Amen? The fear of God is the beginning of all of it. And whither ye go over Jordan or possess it, up to you. Moses simply closed the case, you know, in the last verse. The song has been sung. You listen to it, you do it. If you can do it, the law will prolong your days. Until then, forever, you will rule with him forever. Think about as a seventh church age who would cross over this, the river of Jordan. You would meet on the other side, amen. And we would sing songs on the Mount Zion, amen. And we think from that desire. And Moses says, sing this song. Through this song, he is the only way you would cross over. You would pass over, amen. If you want to pass over. He says, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. You know what happened after this? I'm not reading this. But after Moses finishing the song, the Lord says, Moses, good job. Well done. Now you will die. Imagine. Look at the situation. He finished singing. Then the Lord says, Moses, good job. Now you will die. Go to Mount Nebo and everything is over. Imagine, you know, the place where Moses stands. The Lord says, sing a last song and I will take you home. Look at the next verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day. Song was written, same day. Song was sung, same day. Words uttered, same day. Moses wants, same day. The Lord spake unto Moses, self same day. He says, get thee up into the mountain of Abarim and to Mount Ebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. The Lord gives address so beautifully, like an experienced taxi driver. To the right, to the left, no, he literally built the entire territory. When the Lord took Moses to the Mount Nebo, he showed the territories. You remember? He showed to the north, to the east. He draw the territory with Moses. And verse 50, until verse 49 looks very soft, positive, beautiful. And verse 50 starts by saying, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto the people as Aaron, thy brother, died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. There is no other greater love other than the one who gave his life for his friend. Moses and Aaron, they hugged each other. Aaron kissed Moses the very first time he met in the wilderness. And the Lord told Moses, you are complaining, stutter mouth, I'll bring Aaron. Aaron saw Moses, the love overpowered him, hugged him, outpouring of love was there. He kissed him. What the Lord would say? 40 years later, you will die first. 40 years later, you will die next. But he didn't say this to them. The Lord knows, right? 83-year-old Aaron, 123, you shall die. 80-year-old Moses, 120, you will die. Now you hug and kiss. It's okay. Now just start the beginning. I'm not going to spoil the party here. He didn't spoil the party. Now he tells Moses, you know, Aaron, the one who came for you, your brother, your friend in my spirit who died for you and the people, you will die the same way on the mountain. And Moses said nothing. The true children of God, they are always at this perfect submission state, not by compulsion, but with contentment and joy. That is something you can't explain. It's a feeling. It's an experience. It's a peace of God. The death of two children could not trouble the heart of Aaron. The Bible says he held his peace.
holding onto the mighty unchanging hand. 51, because he trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. The Lord again tells the address. Because he sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. Aaron, being the high priest, was taken first because he was bearing the iniquity of the people. Moses, being the leader, he was taken next. Correct? Now let's remember this and turn the same, continue, chapter 33, verse 1 to 5. Look at how Moses speaks. I want you all to remember that you are standing like Moses. And the Lord tells you this. You will die this place because so you trespass this against me. You know, I'm very angry with you. And the next verse says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. He still hold on to his love for the people. If you don't love them wholeheartedly, he cannot bless them wholeheartedly. And he blessed them wholeheartedly to the people who were keep on cursing him throughout their life. And what he said? The Lord came from Sinai. He points back to the first meeting. And rose up from Seir unto them. And he shined forth them from Mount Paran. And he came with the 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. He says, he did not say, my people, I love you. I want to build a sympathy. Worship me. He said, he loved you. The Lord loved us first. And all his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Mary was washing the feet of Jesus Christ, anointing the feet. Anointing the feet with the precious oil of her life. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. That is Israel, nation of Israel. Amen. So, in the same chapter, I'm not reading the full chapter, I'm only focusing on the praises so that we go in the way the Lord wants us to read the scripture today. Verse 26, same chapter please. Verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Moses speak this word after he blessed the 12 tribes of Israel. How many stones on the breastplate of Aaron? 12. Amen? 12. Four rows, three each. 12 tribes of Israel represented by 12 different precious stones. And those 12 precious stones were applied on the breastplate, knitted together, which represents one single stone brings forth 12 tribes. And one is line of Judah, one is the priesthood from the Levites. Remember, two, high priest and the line of Judah. And that 12 stones are 12 tribes. And Moses, he finished his life by blessing those 12 tribes. He blessed them in a way which is very different from the blessing of Jacob. Jacob also blessed all 12, his sons. But when Jacob blessed, he blessed them as his sons. But when Moses blessed, he blessed them as tribes. So you could see a beautiful difference there. This we will cover in a separate title for 12 stones, as the Lord put in my heart someday. We need to meditate on the 12 stones, what the stones represent, and who are the 12 apostles, who are the 12 tribes, and who are the 24 elders, you know, that we read in the book of Revelation. By God's grace, we will meditate this separately. But for today, remember this. Moses sang a song, then he blessed every tribe uniquely, you know, specifically, what the Lord wanted him to prophesy. Now he says, God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and he shall say, destroy them. Israel shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine, and his heaven shall drop down as dew. Again, he talks about rain come from heaven. He's finishing by how he started. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy health, who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. What? When you hold on to the truth will manifest. It will uncover the shame of liars. And thou shalt tread upon the high places. Luke 10:19, I believe, that we will tread over the serpents. Amen? So now, in one single verse, Moses brings everything together so beautifully. He says, happy art thou, Israel, who is like you? God is your savior. God shields you. He covers you. He is your garment of salvation. He is the armor that he protects you from the battle. Rejoice. Be happy. I'm so blessed by all the praise and worship. You know, recently everybody is singing, dancing. That is what we should do. Happy art thou, church of God, who is like unto thee? The Lord is your shield. He is your strong tower. He is everything. Greater is he who is in you. There is no family like the family of God. There is no church like the church of God. We should be happy. We should understand the confidence that we should ride upon. The assurance that we have. The enemy wants us to stay weak, stay doubtful, stay confusing. That is not happiness. Happiness is confidence in the Lord. I am happy because I am confident in the Lord. I have the assurance in my God. Amen? So, with this, we end the life of Moses. Because after this, Moses died. After Moses died, there was a eulogy from his friend. Verse 10, chapter 34. Verse 10. So, this was written by the Lord himself. By his spirit, right? But he did this after he died. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord had sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. What a perfect ending, love letter, the Lord allowed to be written. And that is how Deuteronomy ends. The death of Moses. So, elder brother gone. Younger brother gone. Aaron taken, Moses taken. And the Lord gave a good report to both Aaron and Moses. But one chapter before, the Lord said, you trespassed. I'm not going to let you. But after that, he's actually rejoicing in the life of Moses. He's righteous, yet God is full of love. Now, from here, we are going to move on to how come these 12 stones were on the breastplate of Aaron? How come these 12 tribes were blessed by the servant of God Moses? How come they were scattered? The high priest was holding them in the Urim Thummim, in the breastplate, and bearing their iniquities continually in the sight of the Lord. The Lord was keeping them together in the wilderness. See what a mockery it is. In the wilderness, they were together. When the Lord gave them nation, they were separated. Isn't it? In the wilderness, they had nowhere to run away. They were together. But in the nations, they were separated. I can take care of myself. I don't need you. No, I'm king of Judah. Oh, I'm king of Israel. I'm Rehoboam. Oh, I'm Jeroboam. I'm Solomon. Oh, I'm Uzziah. I'm Josiah. This freedom was not the liberty of Christ. What happened is, people left wilderness where they were free. They entered into a promised land where they became captives to their own flesh. Now, with this, let's read 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, I want you all to remember what we read just now is the unity of 12 stones, unity of 12 tribes, blessed by the Levite Moses, blessed by the Levite Aaron. The line of Judah is not out yet. The tribe of Judah is not exalted yet, because David has to come. Solomon has to come later. But before that, Saul came. From which tribe? Tribe of Benjamin. The very last one. Younger brother to Joseph. Correct? He started from the last. Amen? Benjamin. So now, with such a blessing from Jacob and Moses and Aaron, everything was done in the wilderness. But yet, something happened for the Lord to scatter them like foxes. Started with the great king of wisdom, Solomon. Chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. That's it. Many strange wives came to the life of Solomon, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Just now the Lord told about Moses. Unto the Egypt and to King Pharaoh, Moses, the life of Moses showed the mighty hand of God. Great and terrible God is he. The Lord showed himself through Moses. Amen. And Solomon married the woman from Pharaoh and women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them. Spiritually speaking, forget about man marrying a woman. It's all about receiving the thought and the works of the world in your heart. That is what you go into another strange woman. Because you are a bride of Christ. You are the daughter of Zion. Bride of Christ. So when those thoughts come into the heart of Solomon, who is supposed to be the king who saw the Lord, he opened his palace for other filthiness to come and dwell. And for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Which love? Not agape love. So Solomon clave unto the wives in love. Anything that is against scripture, that is not agape love. Anything that is not agape love, that is not love. It's lust. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. The life of Solomon, the greatest king of wisdom, he lost in the love. Do you know how serious it was? Until then, the kingdom of Judah, Israel, was not scattered like this. After this, everything began. Why? All of those wives, they brought the gods to the kingdom of God. What will happen when other gods enter into your heart? God would not stay. The glory of the Lord shall depart the tabernacle. Amen? For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. When he was old, that means when the mind become weaker. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth. See the danger of it. The king who built the temple of Jerusalem went after Ashtaroth. Remember this. The king who wrote Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, went after Ashtaroth. And we call him as the wisest king ever. True, the Lord allowed this. So that he can go to the deep and learn all the filthiness, come back as a prodigal son and say that is the food of the swine. Everything is vanity. Fear God, keep his commandments. Solomon can say that when he experienced all of this. But that does not give a chance to Solomon to say, the Lord allowed this. No. Never ever cheat God. My brethren, remember this. Yes. When the Lord struck Nabal, he died. Amen? Abigail is alone. David took Abigail, correct? Good. If Nabal's parents come and tell all of us, my son died as a martyr for God. It was the work of the Lord. True. It was the work of the Lord. The Lord struck him. But the Lord was not pleased in that work. The Lord was not identifying himself in that work. The Lord was not rejoicing in that work. Anything that grieves the Holy Ghost, that grieves the Spirit of the Lord, that is not the work of the Lord. But the Lord stopped it. It is the work of the Lord. You can't draw the line. When I make a mistake, I must say I was wrong in my flesh. It was my mistake. But the Lord pulled me out in his grace and mercy. Work of the Lord. But if I say the Lord allowed me to make this mistake, you are mocking God. How come the Lord who is holy righteousness would make you do something wrong? Impossible. Anything that is not glorifying the name of the Lord did not allow this to happen. You did this. You did this. Tell yourself, I did this. Not the enemy, not the devil. I did this. Is a starting point of self-realization. But the Lord pulled you out because He loves you. But don't hide behind that love. He won't do it again and again. The everlasting mercy of the Lord, known only to Him. Not by the one who runneth, not by the one who willeth, but by the one who sheweth mercy. How you sheweth mercy? You don't know. But the Lord says, don't play with me. I don't know when I will take my hands off. If He take His hands off, my brethren, no man in the world can save us. He needs to turn in His everlasting mercy. Someone should go and intercede for us. And this is absolutely important to learn from here. And after, I want to read from verse 9. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Look at this way of speaking. The Lord is calculating, counting the addresses. I met you twice in this address. Postal code, street number, He will tell you. Time, He will tell you. Season, He will tell you. He remembers. He says, I met you twice. You simply turned away from me. The Lord met Solomon twice, personally, asked him what gift you want. He said wisdom, but he forgot to ask one thing, my brethren. Lord, give me the wisdom that I shall never profane thy name. It would have been the perfect prayer request. But he simply said, give me the wisdom to lead the people. Good. But he forgot to say one more thing, to serve you. You cannot serve God Himself alone. You cannot serve God's children alone. It is the resonation of agape love. God is in the midst of His children, together. Look at the way when Solomon asked for a gift. He didn't utter the correct gift. There was a loophole, and the Lord played the game in that loophole. Correct? Because there is no one wise enough to outsmart God. To God alone who is wise, be glory and honor forever through Jesus Christ. That's all. Because that is what Jesus said. That is wiser than the great king Solomon standing here. He was talking about himself. He was not boasting. He's just saying the truth. That's the truth. He is the only one who can say I'm wise. The wisdom. Now, when the Lord is angry, I will tell you what will happen. Remember this. When the Lord is angry, He will do two things. One, He will strike us, or He will send adversary. Why? He wants us to learn and become stronger and become more fruitful for Him. Amen? So when the Lord is angry, He says He had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not which the Lord had commanded. Wherefore the Lord had said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept thy covenant, and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Imagine, if David was alive, he would slap Solomon. Did I pass everything to you for this? But no, David knows he was already warned by Prophet Nathan before. It's simply a continuation. No one can say, I was better than you. Everybody were judged by the Lord for what they did. No one can escape from Him. Remember this. None of us can hide behind someone. He would single out us and take us and deal with us. So Solomon did something, and the Lord is speaking about what Solomon did. And He says so beautifully, I will rend the kingdom, notwithstanding in thy days. You see, I won't do it in your days. For David, thy father's sake, because the Lord promised David. But I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Do you see the same level of appreciation for Moses and David? In Deuteronomy, in 1 Kings, you would see a pattern. David died. Moses died. The Lord is speaking for them. He tells Solomon, I will do it for my servant's sake. Because he promised. Which means the servant lived a life worthy of that promise. Remember? God dealt with him. The son of David, the first one of Bathsheba and David before the marriage, did not survive. 7 days he put on sackcloth, prayed with hope and faith. The Lord took the child. He gave Solomon. He said, no. I can't repair this mistake. Let me replace it for you. Now, that Solomon received the word from the Lord. Verse 14, the Lord starts his business. Remember this always in your life. Whenever something goes against you, do not simply say, the devil sent this. You could be mistaken. Never say that. Do not be so assertive, assured in saying things in your life. We have to understand, where do I stand and what the Lord is doing in my life. Look at verse 14. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, not the devil. Do you hear me? Book of Proverbs says, Solomon says, your strength will be uncovered in the day of adversity. And who would send adversity? The Lord himself. Why? He wants us to exercise our faith. God is not a man to tempt. The adversary will come and tempt you. He would just open the door. He would just take the hands off. When the Lord take the hands off Hezekiah, he was full of proud. Correct? Then the Lord would teach Hezekiah, you are nothing but a man of pride without me. Then Hezekiah humbled himself. Correct? Now the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, and he was the king's seed in Edom. Now imagine, Solomon is who? Appreciated, recognized, honored by the whole world. Great King Solomon of wisdom. The Lord would say, let me play a game. Two adversaries he sent. Solomon could not beat them. He could not even kill them, my dear brethren. So where is the wisdom? You see, for it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, until he had cut off every male in Edom. Remember the name Joab? We had a good series on David and Joab, Uriah, Bathsheba, Absalom. That Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt. Remember the name, Egypt. The wife of Solomon from where? Egypt, Pharaoh, daughter of Pharaoh. And Hadad being yet a little child. Very similar to Joash. Last Sunday we met on Joash Jehoiada. Amen. Look at how it all began. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran. And they took men with them out of Paran. And they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him an house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. So there was an adoption. There was a shelter provided to that child so that it can grow. Grow as an adversary against Solomon in the time to come. Correct? Now you see, and Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him the wife, the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tahpenes the queen. And the sister of Tahpenes bare him Jehubbath his son, whom Tahpenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Jehubbath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. Very similar to Moses. Moses was raised like a prince, but he was not the prince of Egypt. He was drawn from the water by the daughter of Pharaoh. Very similar. And then Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his father. You see, when Jehoiada was killed, or died, when Jehoiada died, his son Zechariah was killed after Jehoiada died. Joash commanded the order to stone Zechariah to be stoned to death. Amen? After the death of Jehoiada. Read this verse. When Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his father and that Joab, the captain of the host, was also dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart, that I may go to my own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, but what hast thou lacked with me? Said, behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country. And he answered, nothing. How about let me go in any wise? And verse 23. God is still working. Verse 23. And God stirred him up another adversary. The Lord is adding up the level of complexity. No, he is actually upsizing the battle. Added up another adversary. Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah, and he gathered men unto him, and he became captain over a band. When David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt therein, and reigned in Damascus, and he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon. Last Sunday, remember the word? All the days of Jehoiada, King Joash did good in the sight of the Lord. Only until Jehoiada was alive. But this adversary stood against Israel all the days of Solomon. People would remember this, right? Oh, this adversary, he withstood Solomon throughout his life. Solomon, oh, come on, I'm a wise king. Just give me some space here. No, the Lord says all the days of Solomon, the adversary stood against Israel. The wise king couldn't do anything. And beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Now this is where a key person is introduced. Verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephratite of Zereda, Solomon's servant. Not anyone. What? Solomon's servant. History repeats, right? David was a servant to Saul, correct? He is not from the tribe of Benjamin. David from the tribe of Judah. Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. But David was hired as a servant to play music, to go to the battle. But that servant took over the kingdom. The Lord repeats the history again. Now this servant, Jeroboam, whose mother's name was Jeruah, a widow woman, when he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Not the heel. My brethren, remember this. When the book of Psalms says, my friend who is my equal, who sat in my table, ate the food, he lifted his heel against me. That is betrayal. Stabbing from the back. But this is a rebel who rebel in a fat square. No? Go come in front of you and lift up your hand. He say, I'm going to kill you. It's enemy. You can trust an enemy, but you can't trust a betrayer. Correct? For me, I would choose my enemy any day over a betrayer. You never know when he will stab you. And the most importantly, you also knitted in love. The pain would be much, much severe. Correct? So now this adversary, he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo, verse 27, and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the middle of all of this, the Lord allowed Solomon to finish the work. Imagine, Solomon, you repair the breach of my servant David. Solomon says, good, good. For the last 20 years, I'm preparing adversary for you. What? No, not just that. I have one more adversary for you, right and left. Don't worry, they will torture you. But they will just make you to go sleepless. Don't worry. But you know what? Just repair the breach. No, I want this to be done. Amen. Do the work of the Lord. Let the Lord have his way. Amen. Two adversaries being, they have been raised. But Solomon repaired the breaches in the middle of all of this. Amen. And the man, Jeroboam, was a mighty man of valor. Saul, good countenance, or a mighty man of valor. Joab was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. Joseph, out of nowhere, house of Joseph comes here. David was same. King Saul loved David by looking at the skills, the talent, the strength, the music that David had. Saul loved him. He even went and told the father of David, can I keep your son? Can I keep your son? Please, just say, please, forget about it, sir. I'll keep him. Because he was a king, he could order. Now Solomon loved the servant. Verse 29, and it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem. Look at the sequence. This is very important. At the prophet Ahijah. Now, there comes a prophet. Without prophet, kingdom would not be rent. Remember this. Samuel was there when King Saul rent his clothes. Then Samuel said, your kingdom will be divided. Saul was like, oh, my dead body. Yes, he died. He did not see the kingdom division. David was there. He did not see the kingdom division. Solomon was alive. But the Lord said, I won't divide the kingdom in your time. In your son's time. Correct? This revolt, this rebellion was key for the Lord to create division. Then he could rent them. Correct? But it was not his intention. They deserved to be rent. The kingdom was deserved to be rent. And the Lord said, for that reason I am righteous, I will let it to be rent. Now this Jeroboam, he went out of Jerusalem. Then the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Saul, the sincere, fervent Jew, was on the way, journeying from Damascus, Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ met him in the way. the prophet of all prophets, the chief apostle of all apostles. He met him in the way. That is calling for him to become an apostle. But this is an intervention. A prophet intervened. He is going to speak some words. And look at the focus of this word. He had clad himself with a new garment. And they were two alone in the field. He had clad himself with a new garment. They two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. 12 stones, 12 tribes, 12 pieces. Amen? We should understand how the kingdom of Israel was divided and why it was divided. Without knowing the root cause, you would never learn from scripture. What is the root cause? God was angry with Solomon. Why God was angry? The love of the wives turned the heart of Solomon. That's it. Root cause. And now Jeroboam is just a scapegoat of all what's going to happen. Now the garment was rent in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take the 10 pieces. It's like Naaman is going, Gehazi running fast and tell Naaman, stop. Give me 2 garments. Give me 2 talents of silver. The rest you keep it. And this prophet Ahijah, he says, 10 pieces, keep it. And now he prophesied, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. First John says, no one can snatch God's children from his mighty hand. Amen. So as long as you are inside that hand, as long as King Solomon remains as anointed King Solomon of God, the kingdom of Israel is in the mighty hand of God. No one can do anything. But when King Solomon went after Ashtaroth, Jezebel, Athaliah, they are not simple spirits, simple wickedness. They are representing the entire evil, wicked gods who are in one single person ruling the kingdom at that point of time. So Solomon went after Ashtaroth, other evil gods, correct? So God cannot hold him. God let him go. When God let him go, the Lord says, my mighty hand let go Solomon, and the so-called mighty hand of Solomon, so-called king wise wisdom, you take the kingdom from his hand. It's very simple, easy for you. Just take it. Just make him to see that I am the who I am. From Solomon's hand, he will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have 1 tribe for my servant David, said the Lord, remembered. And for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. What is the tribe? Judah. City of peace, city of Jerusalem, line of Judah, the king of Judah. Because the day they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians. Remember, my brethren, how precise the Lord is. When the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Remember this, the Lord never forgets anything. He remembers everything. But when we walk in his ways, he chooses to forget. But if you provoke him, he will remember everything. Do not provoke him. Because he is the greatest mathematician, very precise. He would go and surprise you with inch precision and you would be saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I myself forgot. Lord would say, I won't forget. The Lord who forget thy iniquities, humble thyself before the mighty hand of God. Amen? Now the Lord says, you worship Ashtaroth. How dare you? That is the question the Lord is asking. Now what happens after this? Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of children of Ammon, and I have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake. Imagine the situation without the name David. You want to understand why all the people who are sick in the gospel, they were calling, son of David, come and heal us. Son of David, come and heal us. That is how important the name of David in the Old Testament. That is how important the name of Abraham in the Old Testament. God of Abraham. David, for my servant's sake. And the Lord says, David, a man after my very own heart. Because he was doing all his will. Humbled himself. And whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes, But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give 1 tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem. What the Lord told Aaron? Burn this flame in my temple continually. If not, I will not let you all to be perished from my sight. The Lord says, burn the light, keep the light always. In Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. The Lord says, I want to put my name. What more said? I published the name of the Lord. Remember the greatness of the one whom you serve. Published. And the Lord says, I want to put my name in the land of Israel. Amen. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. The Lord says, according to whatever your soul desireth. He did not say, according to my will. Do you see the words? The detail is in the words. Whatever your soul desireth, do it. You will be the king. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, Lord, still give him a chance. The Lord is righteous. He give a chance to everyone. Amen. If you do this, will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, and to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, and I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house. Build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel unto thee. The Lord said the same to David and Solomon. Amen. He said the same. And he is telling the same thing to this man. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Verse 39 is why the Bible says, Athaliah went after the royal seed to kill them. Now read verse 39 again. I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Are we the royal seeds of God? Are we all suffering? And the Lord said, I throw you like a sheep in the midst of wolves, but my comforter will comfort thee. Because your suffering is not forever. There is a land, no weeping, no death, no sorrow, not forever. This will come to an end, but endure in patience. Wait patiently. Amen. So there is also applicable in the time of Solomon and David. Verse 40 is what surprised me. I thought Solomon is wise. The Lord has spoken it, correct? Please follow me. The Lord has spoken it. And verse 40 says, therefore Solomon sought to kill Jeroboam. Why? God spoke to Jeroboam through the prophet. But Solomon saw, oh, you are going to kill the royal seeds. I am Solomon, son of David. I am going to stop you. Correct? Thinking that he's doing a service to God. This service, would it be fruitful? No. And Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt. Saul take a spear, threw the spear. David saw the spear. No. He escaped. The spear hit the wall. Solomon arose to kill Jeroboam. Jeroboam saw that. No. He escaped. Why? What God has spoken will come to pass. Every other vessel will react to it. Will do what is required. This mighty man of valor ran away from Solomon. Remember this. And what happened? Unto Shishak, the king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. So all the days of Solomon, he could not kill Jeroboam. All the days of Solomon, the adversary was still dancing beautifully. And Solomon died as a king who could not defeat his adversary. Happened to David as well. David could not kill Joab. It was Solomon who killed. David could not eliminate Adonijah. It was Solomon who eliminated Adonijah. But Solomon could not taste victory when he died. He died as a king. True. The Lord showed mercy. The Lord said, because of your father, I will let you to see the kingdom won't divide. But after you, I will run the kingdom. Amen. Now Jeroboam is waiting for the kingdom. After Solomon died, he took over. Correct? Now please load the images. So you want 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, I want us to remember this incident, very important. Now remember this. When Saul rent the garment of Prophet Samuel, how many pieces that Prophet Samuel cursed? The kingdom will be divided into two. Two, right? Two. But when Prophet Ahijah met this man, the new garment, he rent that into 12 pieces. He gave him 10. Kept one for David because the line of Judah must be preserved. Amen? So now, having explained this, look at the top right. Now we just focus on this box. Jeroboam, Ahijah, the priest, and here, Jehoiada, the priest, Joash, Athaliah. Last Sunday we meditated. Look at the sequence. Only focus on the boxes, okay? The top right, Ahijah, prophet, and Jeroboam, Jehoiada, the priest, and here, Elisha, the prophet, with Ahab, and Jehu. Now remember the name Jehu. Jehu was the king the Lord allowed to go to eliminate Jezebel. Now the next image, please. Only focus on the boxes. We will meditate this slowly, you know, when the time comes. Now this one, as we meditated, Uzziah, the king who ruled 52 years, died as a leper. That time the Lord raised the high priest, Azariah. And prophet Isaiah is here, Hezekiah is here. And that time there was a great king of Assyria went, and the Lord delivered the people from the king. But Hezekiah rent his clothes, put on sackcloth for prayers. Amen. And prophet Isaiah, he took his ministry after the death of King Uzziah. Just wanted to show you the sequence, you know, where do we stand. Now let's please turn your Bibles, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 9. Now I want all of us to take two beautiful inspiration, continuing from what we studied so far, how the kingdom is divided and garment and all. Chapter 9 verse 1 says, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets. Please listen to the words very carefully. Chapter 9 is very important. 2 Kings. And said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in, make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber, inner chamber, then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee, tarry not. Don't stand. After anointing him, run away from him. So who said this? Elisha. But now remember, who gave the command? God to prophet Elijah. Raise the king, Jehu, and as well as prophet Elisha. Amen. Before the Lord took Elijah. That is chapter 2. Now Elisha appointed the king through his servant, Jehu. Now remember this. The Lord said, whoever escaped from Jehu, Elisha will slay. Remember? If nobody escaped from Jehu, Elisha had no one to kill. Correct? Now please read from verse 24. Now Jehu, the same chapter 24, because Jehu, he had a conspiracy, he is chasing people to eliminate. And verse 24, this king Jehu, because now king of Israel has been changed to Jehu, anointed by the prophet of the Lord, and this Jehu is on a mission. He drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. He thought he could be safe in his chariot, but he was killed in his very own chariot. Then said Jehu, the Bidkar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord, and I will require thee in this plot, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. So Jehu is keep on focusing on The Lord said this. The Lord said this. I am on it. I am on it. Amen. Now Jehu is marching and Jezebel is preparing herself. What's about to happen? Jehu is marching forward. He is removing one by one, marching towards to hit the final goal of taking out Jezebel. Like how Jehoiada took out Athaliah. Now Jehu is about to take out Jezebel. But then Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this. He fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. Again, whatever you think that you are strong, whatever you think that you are awesome, amazing, good, and we will be struck in the very same strength of our life, in our chariot. If that chariot is not a chariot of Israel, if that is a chariot of Egypt, the Lord will strike us there and we will be laid there. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam, and he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. That was a honor given to all the kings. Amen. And in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. Now verse 30. Now when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. When the priest of the Lord running and praising with Jehoiada the high priest, celebrate the king, Athaliah heard of it. Amen. So there was a noise whenever there is a king who follows the command of the Lord. And that noise is provoking, disturbing the wickedness. And Jezebel heard of him. And what happens? She painted her face as if she could, you know, she could deceive that she is not Jezebel, like a dramatic sympathy kind of a, you know, shield, whatever that she wanted to escape. She painted her face and tired her head, looked out at a window. How we start a sermon? Your flesh is the garment of your whole body, right? All the organs of your body is covered by your flesh, the skin. So Jezebel, she changed the skin. She wanted to look a different person. She tried everything she could. And she, you know, peeked up from the window. Well, where is Jehu? Window. I want you all to remember this window. There are two windows. The Lord inspired my heart yesterday. Two windows. The window of Jezebel and the window of Michal. Both these women, they looked through the man through a window. The queen, the wife of Ahab, saw Jehu in the window. She changed her face so that Jehu won't recognize her. But what happened? And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace? Who slew this master? She could have kept quiet. And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. So she thought she is alone, everything is okay because she can actually escape. Then Jehu asked, is there anyone who stands for me? Like how Moses said, whoever is on the side of the Lord, come this side. Everything else was slain. 3,000 was slain. When Jehu spoke the word, and he said, throw her down. The highest cedar will be brought down. Which means she was looking at Jehu from a tall place, from a higher ground, in the tower or somewhere. And that window, the more high she went, also proved to be the dangerous fall of her own death. Correct? If she was in the first floor, if she jumped, she would say, oh, Jehu, I can jump myself. If she's in 20th floor, she would say, no, I will die. And Jehu said, throw her out. Why? Throw her out. And then they threw her out, verse 33, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. Which gate Athaliah entered? Horse gate. Amen? By which gate Athaliah entered? By the horse gate. Now, horses. And he trod her under the foot. And when he was coming, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And when they went to bury her, they found no more of her other than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him. He said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite. Now you see, she was desiring to kill prophet Elijah. The Lord kept him. But Elijah did not kill Jezebel. The Lord took him. Elisha did not kill Jezebel because the Lord used Elisha to anoint the king Jehu. And Jehu did not kill Jezebel because someone threw her out of the tower, obeyed his command, like Jehoiada. And after that, when they went, they could not find the flesh. Why? And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that she shall not say, this is Jezebel. The way she painted her face, it really happened, nobody could recognize who she was. Because this is how Elisha spoke. Now please go to verse 9. Same chapter verse 9. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Remember the name? We just read this name, correct? Like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah, the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. The Bible says God himself buried Moses that no one can find him. Amen. None to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Now remember this. Please go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. May the name of the Lord be glorified as he called all of us to put on Christ. And how we put on Christ? Throw the flesh to the beast. Amen. Everything that is not of God in our life, we throw it away from the strong tower. It will fall, hit the floor, will be scattered. Let the dead bury the dead. The new man should remain in the strong tower. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now let's look at the other window of another woman. This time she is the wife of the king. Chapter 6, verse 16. Let's focus on verse 16. Yes. Verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. I repeat. Jezebel saw King Jehu look through a window. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked David through the window. Which window? The eyes of flesh. Which window? The eyes of flesh. The eyes of your life is the window of your understanding. What you see, what you see. What you see, what you perceive. What you see, what you understand. And she looked through her window. And what she saw? She saw the King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She despised him in her heart. Why? She had her own preferences for King David. She can't. King David doesn't belong to her. He belongs to him, the Lord Almighty. He is dancing, leaping, rejoicing for the Lord. The ark of the Lord coming into the city. And when Michal saw her husband through her own window, she was not happy because the garments were dropping. What? The garments were dropping. So, in everything I said so far, the garment is standing at a preeminent position, right? If the garment did not drop, Michal had no reason to despise. He would say, oh, what a beautiful move. Go on, husband. Dance well, dance well. But because the garments were dropping, she couldn't take it. Because she took it as a shame. Oh, is it? We stop here. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Let's look at the way the Lord told Isaiah that you shall be naked for me. You shall be naked for me. Let's find that verse, please. The Lord called Isaiah to serve him. But before that, he did not give him a free ride. He asked him to do. Chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse. Chapter 20, verse, should be verse 2. Verse 2, yes. Isaiah 20, verse 2. At the same time, spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah had walked naked and barefoot 3 years, 3 years, 3 years for a sign, and wander upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now, there was no one to despise prophet Isaiah. Thank God. Or else the Lord would have burned them. Why? It was the Lord who took the garment away from Isaiah. Now where we are going? Now continue 2 Samuel chapter 6. Continue with verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. Who? David. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now the question is, are these offerings accepted by the Lord? Amen. Yes? Which means that despising is a blasphemy against the Lord. Correct? Now please go down verse 21. Verse 21. Same chapter. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord. What? It was before the Lord. Which means the Lord called me to stand before him. It was before the Lord, by the Lord, in the Lord, for the Lord, through the Lord. What happened to you? Why you despise me? And he says, which chose me before thy father, Saul. And before all his house, you appoint me ruler over the people of Israel, over Israel, by the Lord. Therefore will I pray before the Lord. Not just pray. I will praise him and I will dance before him. Because I am loose, I am liberty. I am full of freedom in his presence. And he says, when I will, and I will yet be more vile than this. If you think this is very much despising for you, I will be even more shameful than this for my Lord to be honored. Isaiah the prophet was naked for 3 years. Can you believe it? And he didn't say nothing. He was walking with whatever the little thing that God allowed him to wear. But he was walking 3 years. What does it represent? Your Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High Priest, the Prince of Peace. He came, waited for 30 years. He performed the ministry 3 years as a normal weak sheep, a lamb of sacrifice. A normal, simple man, no power, no army, nothing, naked, without the garment of king, but with the garment of servanthood. 3 years, he did this, right? And now the Lord is inquiring every single enemy. My complete manifestation of word. Walk in this earth 3 years, ministering his children. And I would bring the judgment upon all of you. I would uncover the shame of all of you. What the Lord told to prophet Isaiah is a warning to all seven church ages. Correct? Exactly. Now you remember this. What David said is very shocking. Because he said, I will yet be more vile than thus, and I will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants. Who are those maidservants? Similar to the maidservants who hide Moses, the baby, from the destruction that was going on. Those servants who stood true to the God Almighty, by risking their lives, they could see the work of the Lord and they would hold honor for the service of God. And he says, which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. The Lord used the foolish things of the world to put the wise to shame. Amen. The last verse. Therefore, because what David spoke, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. All the days of the life of Jehoiada, Joash was fruitful. All the days of Solomon, adversary stood. All the days of Michal, could not bear a single child with David. Spiritually speaking, all the days of the life, the bride must bear fruit with the son of David. The groom, in spirit, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. If we cannot bring forth the fruit of the Holy Ghost, David has not yet known you. The son of David wants to know him. Intimately in spirit. If you look at him in a different window, thinking that God, you are not doing this. What are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And without even your knowledge, you would be despising the son of David who's dancing to the song of salvation. His garments may drop. You know what are the garments? You know what are the garments? Turn your Bibles. Book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19. I would read from verse 14. Remember the son of David. Remember David Michal. Remember Jehu Jezebel. Remember Jehoiada Athaliah. Amen? Remember all of this. Verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about 6 hours he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. They took your master, your prince of life, because of you. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of what? Place of a skull. Place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. We will meditate this. And where they crucified him and the two others with him, and on either side one, Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a little title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest, what a mockery. Chief priest, all the way from the priesthood service of Aaron, how come this priesthood reached such a state of blasphemy? In between, so many things happened. They lost the essence of priesthood. They were so much on their garment, on their power, on their name, on their face, on their title, on how the people see them. But rather, they totally forgot the garment is your life that you give to the Lord. And these chief priests, they complain. They say, write not the king of the Jews, but that he said, I am king of the Jews. But Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I rejoice in such a statement from this man. Because the Lord called him a righteous man. He says, you already took the judgment upon yourself. This one is in my charge. I wrote whatever I wrote, no one changed it. Amen? This rings a bell. Whatever God writes in the commandments that he gave to Moses, whatever that he wrote in our life, whatever the Lord has written is written. If I change, if I add, my life is gone. Amen? Now, what is beautiful here is the continuation of the events. After this, then the soldiers, not the priest, not the kings, not the princes or queens, soldiers, warriors, like how Jehoiada gave the spears and bucklers and shields to those people to guard the king. Do you hear me? The spears and bucklers and shields from David, from the temple of God, was given to those people to guard King Joash. These soldiers, such soldiers of the enemies, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments. What? They took his garments and made four parts. How many? Four parts. They parted his garments. To every soldier apart. As much as they want to mock him, insult him, put him into shame, doing all these evil, wicked things, but whatever has to be fulfilled, it had been fulfilled. Amen? Because it was spoken. Now they are trying to part the garments, because the new garment of that man was rent into 12 pieces, like how the prophet Ahijah touched it. But here the soldiers take the garments of Jesus, and they try to make it into four parts. To every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The soldiers, they had planned, they wanted, but they decided, we can't rend this. It will be a waste of piece of cloth. They said, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment, single raiment. It was seen as multiple garments at first. They thought they can do it in four parts. But then they decided, we can't rend it. Maybe cast a lot. And that was it. My raiment among them, for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldier did. Now, let's continue from verse 38 as we close. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, the garments is being parted among the soldiers. Saul, the Jewish leader or the sincere servant, standing. Stephen is being stoned to death. Those who stoned him to death, they take off their garments. They came to Saul. They laid the garments at his feet. You remember? Book of Acts, chapter 7. Stephen being stoned to death, the garments of the people were laid at the feet of Saul. Jesus being crucified, the garment of Jesus being parted among the soldiers. They were casting lots on it. After the Lord gave his life for you and me. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, not one, my dear brethren, two, not one, Joseph and Nicodemus, there came also led by the Spirit of God, which at the first time came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And he took they carried the body of Jesus and wrapped it in the linen clothing with the spices as a manner of the Jews is it to bury. So Jesus Christ was wrapped. The body of Jesus was wrapped. Lazarus was wrapped when the Lord called him to come to life. And the Lord said, remove the filthy garments, put on the new garments. Amen? We were all wrapped by lack of understanding, sin, iniquity, wickedness. The Lord said, come out of the tomb. Come on. And he changed our garments into a new man. Amen? And now that body was wrapped again by Joseph and Nicodemus. I love the name Joseph. It comes at a beautiful time. Genesis ends with Joseph. Gospel begins with Joseph. And the body of Jesus buried by Joseph. All Joseph, same name. Now, what happens? Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. Wow. There was a garden, another garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre. Beautiful. Wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Now let's look at the few verses. And it says, I want to read from verse 1, next chapter. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and set the stone taken away from the sepulchre. When the Lord called Lazarus, he told them, take away the stone. Amen? What he said? Take away the stone, so that Lazarus can come out. But when Mary went there, the stone was not there, it was removed. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. The flesh is not to be seen. The flesh is not to be seen. And we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that the other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking, what he saw, my dear brethren? What he saw? Looking, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. He waited, although he reached first. Why? It was Peter supposed to go inside first. So he waited, this other disciple. He saw the linen clothes. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. He saw the clothes were on the ground, but the body was not to be found. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Hallelujah. It was wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And he saw and believed. Luke 2:7. Let's all stand as we close. Luke 2:7. Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a saddling clothes and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them in the inn. How the life started and how it ended, wrapped around. When Elijah was hiding in the cave, he was wrapping himself with a mantle. When he was taken, the mantle fell. When Mary Magdalene went to look for Jesus Christ, the linen clothing were on the ground. But he was not to be found. When Jezebel fell from the tower, from that window, when the king came, when the king, after the food, eating, drink, and meat, and the king said, go and check. And they said, they can't see Jezebel, only skull and the feet and the hands. What? Skull, feet, and the hands. How your Lord was crucified? Where he was crucified? What was the place of the name? Now, that flesh that fell from the top, scattered, and the dogs ate the flesh, couldn't be found. The garment that fell from the Lord, taken, parted across soldiers, as the scripture was fulfilled. When the Lord allowed Stephen to be stoned, don't you see the righteous deed of the saints is a fine linen clothing? The enemies, they go and tear down the righteous deed, right? The garment is stripped. Jesus Christ was not just stripped once. Every time a righteous blood is shed, the wickedness of this world, they are trying to strip the body of Christ. But the Lord would cover them back. Michal, the woman, the wife of David, she saw the husband through the window of her own mind, own heart. She could not see what the Lord is doing in the midst of the king. But rather, she didn't want the king to lose the reputation. But she became barren, could not be fruitful to the son of David. But Jesus Christ was stripped naked for all of us. And in the tomb, the garment was fled. No, the garment dropped. Can we say, oh, I opened the window of the rock and the sepulchre. I despise Christ because he's not there. I was about to have a meeting with him. If there was no resurrection, none of us would be here. I pray the Lord bless all of us to bring all of this to our heart. We will continue. The Lord has given us a spiritual set of eyes to see how the Son of David works. How the brothers and sisters are uniquely formed. Fearfully, wonderfully made in the womb of the mind of the Lord. Everyone is beautiful, equal, because the Lord is in every one of us. The window, how we see, is it the window of Jezebel or the window of Michal? Both the windows are not the window of the Holy Ghost. Both the windows are not the windows of the Holy Ghost. The right garment of a child of God is understanding. If the Son of David is dancing, he is dancing. If he's resting, he's resting. If he's fighting, he's fighting. But understanding the perfect will of God in our life, in the family where we are rooted, in the fellowship where we are planted, is absolutely important for us that we understand the importance of the garment of salvation. This is the true garment of praise. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we close today. And I pray that we all fill our heart with thanksgiving and joy. And there is a set of songs that we wanted to sing. Let's sing it, you know, when the baptism is going on. So that we pray and close now. Amen. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord. You spoke to us in the scripture that we are called to put on Christ, put on love, put on charity, put on the fruit of the Holy Ghost, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of David. Lord, we pray. Help us, Lord, that we learn to rejoice in thy presence. Help us, Lord, how the kingdom was divided is not your desire. You are always about unity. You're always about bringing all of us together as one strong tower, one beautiful house of God, one divine family of God. Lord, we pray. Bless us, Lord, to learn from the kings, to learn from the priests, to learn from the prophets, to learn from the importance of the righteous deeds of saints. That is our garment. The garment of salvation. Faith without works is dead. We have to work, O Lord, the work of the Father in heaven. Lord, help us, Lord, that we are washed by the blood. Our garments are cleansed by the blood. And we put on the Spirit of God, by which we are all sealed unto the day of redemption. Our heart is rejoicing, O Lord, for the work of thy mighty hand in our life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are in the midst of us. You will see us through. Help us, Lord, to prepare that the church of God, the tabernacle of God, the temple of God, the house of the Lord is filled with joy and high praises and worship to bring down the mighty divine presence of the Lord Almighty, to be a shelter for the souls wandering around, to be a place of healing for those who are looking for the divine healer, to be a place of fountain of life for those who are thirsty, to be a place of the manna from the heaven for those who are hungry for righteousness, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be a fruitful vineyard for you in this land. We thank you, Lord, for the blessed family that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the brothers and sisters in our life. Together, O Lord, together we serve thee with all our heart, with all our mind, in unity and in faith. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. As we have a beautiful, beautiful blessing that is about to happen today, O Lord, a baptism of our precious dear sister, Sister Dennis. Thank you, Lord. Every soul is from thee. We are all thy seeds. And you have promised us, like how you told to David, I will let the seeds of David to be afflicted, but not forever. Thank you, Lord. The comforter who is with us, who would teach us to endure patiently, wait upon the Lord, who would teach us to follow the word of God. You are the lamp unto our feet, thy word, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another. Help us, Lord, to press on together, to arm shoulder with together. We are one beautiful family of God. We thank you for the baptism today. I pray in the name of the Lord, may the Spirit of God fill all of us when we sing songs, when we bless our dear sister with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, the way we love God, we love her, because it is the same agape love that is ruling all of us, and it is the kingdom of the Lord, and this kingdom is rooted in the love of God. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.